Made it back just in time, which is good. So yeah, there's the story we're going to look at, Luke chapter 5, 27 to 32. You can see there on the screen the call. I still remember the call like it was yesterday. My dad, I think he was, picked up the phone to answer. And on the other end of the line was a guy called Des Davis, who was the local butcher. But more importantly, Des Davis was also the manager of Norton Lindsay Under 10s, who were a pretty tidy football outfit. We just moved to the area, been training with them for a couple of weeks, and this was the call that came through to say that I had made the squad for the season ahead. And I can still remember the call, absolutely buzzing to be a part of Norton Lindsay Under 10s. Well, maybe you've been in a similar situation where you've been called up maybe to represent a team, or you've been invited to somebody's party, and when you receive that call, or when you get that invite, it's just the most magical feeling to feel wanted. Well, the call before us this morning is way more important than any of those, because it's not just a call that puts a smile on the face of an eight-year-old boy. It's a call that can change your life forever. And it's the call to follow Jesus. You've heard it there in the story as it was read to you. You can see verse 27 where the story begins. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Now, just to set the scene for you here, Levi wouldn't have been the most popular man in town. As you can see in verse 27, he was a tax collector, which in those days was pretty bad news. You see, Levi was a Jew, but he worked for the Romans, who were actually the enemy. And his job was to collect taxes, to collect money from his own people. And therefore, Levi was seen as a traitor in the eyes of the Jews, which is why most people would have told Levi where to go. Do one, Levi. We don't want you around here. But instead, Jesus stands before Levi, telling him to come. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi's response there in verse 28, he got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. It's the same response actually we see right at the beginning of the chapter, when Jesus calls Peter and James and John, the fishermen, to follow him. And they left their boats, they left their nets, they left the biggest catch in history and followed Jesus. Well, in verse 28, we see the same thing happening. Levi gets up from behind his tax collector's booth and he leaves it all behind. The job, the money, the security, he left everything in order to follow Jesus. You see, what we have before us here is a clear departure from the old way of life. You see, being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus, isn't just something that you drift into. It requires an active decision. He got up. Levi turned his back on his old way of life that was lived without God in order to live this new life that was centered on Jesus. And so it is for Mia. She may have grown up in a Christian home hearing lots of things about Jesus from a young age, but this is her decision, a clear marker in Mia's life that she's left the old way behind in order to pursue the life that God has called her to, a new hope, a new purpose, and a whole new future. The big question you may be asking this morning is why? Why would Mia do that? Why would she be dunked in the water this morning in front of family and friends? What is it she believes about Jesus? What actually is a Christian? Why has Mia done what she's done this morning? Well, imagine there was a book of your life. This is a book. It's a book of Mia's life. It isn't really, but imagine this was a book of Mia's life, okay? Everything that Mia has ever done, thought, or said is captured in this book. Nothing's left out. It's all there. Now imagine if I was to just flick this open, chapter 3 maybe, Start reading to you some of the things that took place in Mia's life. Do you know what? There are many chapters in this book and many moments in this book I'm sure Mia would be delighted if I read out. Sports day, maybe. Footy tournament, whatever it is. Christmas with the family. Loads of good moments to look back on and say, God, thank you. There's so many good things in life. But do you know what? There's some chapters in this book I could turn to and Mia would be absolutely devastated if I read them out. Things maybe she's done to other people, things that she's said about other people, things that we don't even know about, but she's thought in the quietness of her own mind about others. There's a lot of good stuff in there, right? I've seen it as a dad, but there's a lot of stuff in there as well that's not quite as good. You see, the Bible calls a lot of that stuff sin. When we've rejected God, when we've gone our own way, when we haven't loved God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, when we haven't loved other people as we should, the Bible just has a very simple word called sin for that. And it's a real problem, you see, because of our sin, we can't go to heaven to be with God. We can't be with a perfect God when we carry all that baggage around with us. And this is why Jesus is such good news. This is why Mia is declaring what she is today, because God's own son, Jesus, came into this world and lived the perfect life, and he took all of that upon himself. All the mess, all the wrong stuff, all the failings. And the Bible says that Jesus died with that on the cross so that we can be free and forgiven. We can spend forever with our loving God in all eternity in a new creation like this one, but so much better in every respect. And that's why you can see back in the story the decision to follow Jesus, when we understand what it means and what it opens up, the decision to follow Jesus is a cause for celebration. It was a cause for celebration then with Levi, and it's a cause for celebration as well this morning. And you can see that celebration, look in verse 29. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Now, we don't use the word banquet much these days, but basically it's a name for a posh party, i.e. when someone decides to follow Jesus, what happens next? People are gathered and the party begins. That's what happened for Levi. He's so thrilled to know what Jesus has done in his life that he wants to celebrate that new life with others. It's why he throws a party for his pals, because he wants them to know what he knows. You can picture the scene, can't you? Midway through the party, quiche is all gone, pizza slices have run out, crisp bowls are empty, and just before Levi gives a shout out for pudding, you know, charge, everyone to the pudding table, he says, wait a minute, I want to take 1 minute of your time. Friends, to tell you why Jesus matters so, so much. Not just to me, but to you as well. And that's exactly what Mia's done this morning, sharing her testimony, her story of why Jesus matters so much. Now, of course, we don't know exactly how it played out in Levi's house. We're not told. But what we do know is this. Levi did not respond to the call to follow Jesus quietly. You see, there's no such thing actually as a private faith, if you heard that language before. No such thing as a private faith. He didn't just sneak away and start this new life somewhere else. No, he wanted to celebrate publicly his faith in Jesus. And again, it's no different with Mia this morning. Just like Levi all those years ago, Mia has also responded to the call to follow Christ. And the most natural thing to do is to celebrate that new life with others and tell them why it matters more than anything else. Firstly, we have the call. Secondly, the celebration that follows that call. And thirdly, and finally, we have the complaint. You see, even with all the celebrations going on, there's a few folk watching in who aren't celebrating at all. In fact, they're grumbling. Look, can you see that, verse 30? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law complained. They were grumbling to his disciples. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? You see, the main issue these people have with Jesus is that he's hanging out with people like Levi. You see, their view of life is that respectable rabbis and respectable teachers and respectable leaders should associate with respectable people. Yet here's Jesus, and he's hanging out with the misfits in society, the tax collectors and the sinners, the dropouts, the people that nobody else had time for. But of course, that is who Jesus came for, isn't it? You see that in the response in verse 31 and 32? Jesus answered them. He answered the grumblers and the complainers. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Or to put it another way, Jesus came for people who know they need help. Who's been to a doctor's before, yeah? Your hand up, you've been to a doctor's. I imagine all of us have been to a doctor. Why do we go? What's the main reason you go to visit a doctor? Yeah, when you're ill, when you're poorly, when you're sick, right? And when you're sick and when you're ill, when you realize you've got a problem, you go and see someone who you know can put it right. Well, it's the same with Jesus. Jesus can put things right. He came for people who realize that they need help. You see, Jesus is like the great doctor of the soul. He came into this world for spiritually sick people who know they've messed up, who know they've got it wrong, and who know they need forgiveness. And you see, that is actually the first step to becoming a Christian. Knowing that there's something actually that's not right in our heart, but only God can help with. In fact, it's as simple as ABC. A, admit you've not always got it right. Admit you're not perfect. Admit that you've wronged the God who made you. Admit that we get things wrong. B, believe. Believe that God so loved this world that he sent his one and only Son from heaven to do what nobody else could do and to bring each of us forgiveness. And C, commit. Commit to following Jesus as your king for the rest of your days. And that's exactly what Mia's done, isn't it? Admitted, believed, and committed. And that's what baptism is all about. Well, just before we finish, I've got one final challenge for us all. You see, I think there are two groups of people in this world, actually, who distance themselves from Jesus. They were probably there in Levi's house, and they're probably here as well this morning. Firstly, there are those who think they're too bad for Jesus. They've gone too far down that road. They've made too many mistakes. They've just made such a hash of life. There's no way God could love me like that. No way. I'm past that. That's wrong. There is a way, and we know there is a way because of the cross. Jesus has showed us the way. And then secondly, there are those who think they're too good for Jesus. Maybe like the Pharisees in the story, yeah? Morally pretty tidy, good guy, good girl. I look around on the outside, I do the right things. I hang out in the right places with the right people. You know, I'm sorted. There's nothing really wrong with me. I'm okay. I've got no need for this Jesus guy. My life is all right. Well, if that is you this morning, could I point out gently to you that without Jesus, the Bible says, we're not actually okay. We've turned away from the God who made us, and we need to turn back to him. That's when the word that repent you saw on the screen, that's what the word repent means, that we're walking this way, away from God, my life, my way, my time. I'm going to do what I want to do, not your way, God. To repent is to realize that and to turn around. And to come back to God and say, God, sorry, I've made a mess. Please forgive me. And to throw your weight upon the only one who can. Or as Jesus says in verse 27, follow me. That's the call this morning. Follow me. And if you remember nothing else, please remember those two words. And notice it's not a question, actually. Jesus doesn't say, will you follow me with a question mark on the end. This is actually a command from the King of Heaven, from the God who gave all of us life. And he calls us to turn our back on the old way and to pursue Jesus, to trust him as our Saviour, and to live with him as our Lord, through this life and through death itself, to the greatest celebration imaginable. Let me pray, then we're going to sing our final song. Father in heaven, we thank you for that story that we've just looked at, that true story from the Bible. Thank you that Levi followed you all those years ago. Thank you that so many have done the same thing and trusted you with their life and with their death. Thank you that Mia has declared her faith in you publicly this morning, admitted, believed, and committed. And that is our prayer, that you do that work in our hearts, that we too might follow you through this life to the greatest celebration imaginable. And we ask all these things for our joy and for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.